much, friend and host. I'm so thankful you're here. Thank you for all of the announcements. There are so many that need to be made. Thank you for supporting this space. Watching every chat, all of the things, it really matters. So thank you so much. And I'm so happy to be here. Where I am, it's evening. And I'm just so glad all of you are here in this space tonight, that we can be here in Sangha together. And I hope that you can make this space what you need to help take care of you in terms of what would be nourishing. So I'll say a variety of things during our time, and but I'm hoping that this can, if something I'm talking about in terms of a topic is not the right match for where you're at, I hope that maybe the words can just kind of go by like leaves on a river, and that you can get in touch with what is most supportive inside for you in Sangha during our meeting time. I went right into that and didn't even say my name again. So yeah, I'm Ryan Pendergrass, and my pronouns are he, him. I live on Ohlone territory. I live in an area that's now called Richmond, California, but I deeply honor all of the people that have been stewards of these lands for thousands of years, and they are still here. So I really wanted to start by honoring that. So will we begin? Well, at least the way I begin is with a stationary meditation time. So we'll do a half an hour of stationary meditation. The good news about meditation and getting the benefits for meditation is that it can be sitting, it can be standing, it can be lying down. It's really just stationary. So check in with what would be most supportive of your body. And sometimes I've noticed, sometimes people have asked me about sitting on the floor versus sitting in a chair. Both of those are stationary meditation. It's just picking a pose that's stationary. So, and also just to mention, if comfort is challenging in any way, just encouragement to seek the most comfortable position you can. And also just encouraging, sending loving kindness to yourself. And if that's not possible, know that I'm sending you loving kindness. Our bodies work very hard all the time. Okay, so you're welcome to have your camera on or off, and I'll say a few words as we get going with our stationary meditation to get settled, and then we'll move into full silence, and I'll ring a bell at the end. So as you find your stationary position, whatever it is, maybe as you get into that position, just see if there is anywhere there can be some letting go. Maybe there's some holding. Maybe muscles in the face or muscles somewhere in the body. So just see if there can be some letting go. Just to check in. And if no letting go is possible, just send a lot of kindness. You can call in anything that resources you. Could just be the gravity that is holding you and not letting you go. This earth that loves us and is holding us. You're not going anywhere, held by this earth. You can let the support of the earth help support your practice. Like the roots deep into the ground. And the tree reaching up, spreading its branches. The trees are breathing out and they're giving us oxygen. And we're breathing out, and we're giving air to the trees. And since it's all one earth, no matter where you are, this is what's happening. And maybe at first there are thoughts or stories. You can just see if you can gently let them go. This time offers us a time to pause. It is a circle around us, allowing us to pause. And again, if there's anything that is not at the right time for letting go of, just send a lot of kindness. You can almost like give it a chair next to you tonight. Just here, take this chair. Just be alongside me right now. And maybe we can both rest for a little while together. And just remember as you are practicing, as the snow globe, snowflakes begin to settle, and the water begins to clear. That you are supported. Even if it's just gravity, just being here, just right now. Just right here, just right now. There are currents of love and joy that have existed since the beginning of time, and they are here too. So I'll move into silence now. But just remember the support and the stillness that are here, that are possible right now. And remember the care and kindness that are just here, just in the earth, holding you. Oh, welcome back. And feel free to stretch a little bit. Take a drink of water. You know, I'm going to do that. So again, it's really good to be here in this space with all of you. I did notice earlier that I was having some screen flickering, and it's something I've been working on with tech support. If it's harmful to see, or it would be best if I turned my camera off. Please feel free to let me know. I know at the beginning there was a request to not directly message teacher, but you could also message host, but you can message me in that case because I do want to support the space. Also, you're welcome to say so aloud. So I just wanted to check in on that first with the flickering. Okay, I will also I'll keep a bit of an eye on the chat in terms of the flickering. So welcome back to our space here together. I was so glad to have that opportunity to do a meditation sit, meditation, a stationary meditation with all of you here. I know that I really wanted that and needed that. So I'm so thankful that I got to share it, that with everyone here. So the topic that I'm going to be talking about tonight is protecting our joy. And it's been echoing in my mind quite a bit. There's Tracy Lizette, who is an actress. She's a trans woman. She's a woman. She's been in several TV series and some movies. And she was interviewed. And during this interview, the interviewer asked what she would say to trans youth. And she said several things that were really supportive and beautiful. But the thing that has stuck with me the most was that she said, "Protect your joy." And I know that lately, I haven't been heeding that wisdom. To protect my joy, that reminder. And there's also this way that the systems of power and how they operate really grind. They grind away in so many different ways. And this varies depending on our positionality in terms of how big that impact is and how much it is and what it looks like. But there's this way that it can grind away at our ability to contact joy and see where joy is and also protect it because it's really sacred. And also, I think it's important to mention that, you know, some of us here may be going through some really significant daily struggles due to the way systematic oppression plays out in our lives. And there can be a whole list of other and or additional reasons. So when I start talking about protecting our joy, if joy doesn't feel accessible right now when I'm talking about this or protecting it, or maybe energy levels or something like that is not like that. This is not the right time. I want to just talk about this and remember you could file it away in kind of the toolbox and remember that this is out there. And I really want to honor the very real experiences that everyone in the room have. At the same time, with these systems that we're in, and many of the things that can happen in life, I feel like power wins through eroding away at being able to access joy, and it also wins in when I'm not protecting my joy. So I'll only speak for myself there in terms of making that statement, but I kind of have gotten to a point where if I'm protecting my joy, I feel like I'm protecting a treasure away from systems and environments that would like nothing more than to take that away. I think another thing is that there are parts of the brain that there are old patterns that can come up in reactivity. And when those patterns are occurring, they can end up reducing the ability to get in touch with expansiveness and joy and creativity. And so protecting one's joy is a way to help protect also being able to be in some more nourishing and supportive parts of just even the way our brains work. And I'll also mention that when I talk about protecting our joy, I think it's important to remember that it's never okay if we are somewhere experiencing something harmful, to jump to talking about joy. So it's just very important groundwork to remember. So protecting your joy. So one of the great features, though, of protecting our joy when we can, when we have the energy to do so, when we have the capacity, when it's accessible, is that it can help with balance. And it can also help us take care of ourselves and each other through connecting to joy. Connecting to joy can be like vast water that allows what's bitter to dissolve outwards. So it's worth remembering it's something that can be in the toolkit. And also, in protecting our joy, it can be really small and bite-sized. I was talking to someone recently who is navigating some very big things, and I was encouraging taking some little breaks during the day, really small ones, like a minute, to just send some loving kindness to themselves or some loving kindness to someone else, or to take that moment to appreciate something that is where there is that sense of joy. But to make it really small, like really, really bite-sized, really small, not big, not enormous, not 30 minutes, not an hour, not a timer. Just spot it. Just take that little bit and protect it. To be like this is something I get to do. One of my teachers, Kyra Jewel Lingo, often talks about seeds. So she says often, what are the seeds am I plant what are the seeds that I'm planting? And talks about that in terms of in any moment, the seeds that we can plant and what they'll grow into. And I think about nourishing joy as some of the seeds that we can be planting. So there's a way that it can take care of us right now, and then there's a way that can continue to grow. It's like growing a garden, and like what's going to be grown there? So planting those seeds. I think also when I'm protecting my joy, when I'm nourishing myself with joy, there's also a way when I'm navigating the world that I am less connected with all the things that can come up via greed, hate, and delusion. And greed, hate, and delusion have lots of flavors within each of them. So those names can be very heavy, greed, hatred, and delusion, but there are a lot of subtle ways that these bins can show up, clinging. Feelings of anger are natural and human and totally okay. It's what you do with them. And so there could be a whole host of other emotions that come out when anger comes up, as opposed to taking gentle care of anger and then also balancing out by remembering the things that do bring me joy. So in nourishing that joy and protecting that joy, there's a way that it can help balance things out. And also, I feel like less like I'm on a really fast slide that takes me right from a variety of emotions that come up in reaction to something going on, and it takes me down the slide to a whole series of additional reactions that aren't actually where I want my heart to be. And this doesn't mean not engaging in change and not indicating that a boundary, that there needs to be a boundary, or removing myself from a situation or things like that in terms of nourishing joy or getting in touch with that. But it's more an action of protecting myself and taking care of myself in addition to engaging in what needs to happen in the world. So a little while ago, I looked up some of the places in the suttas joy comes up. And this was in reaction to some of the meditation environments I've been in that have felt extremely serious. And there's preciousness in that because it's like a seriousness of dedication. It's a seriousness of deep practice. So I'm not knocking that. But there was this part of me that felt like there was like an element of striving that was getting really, really enriched and strong. And I was concerned about that for myself. I turned to these practices because I want to get free. And there was this kind of element of striving and trying that felt like that was a near enemy to moving towards freedom. It felt like a sneaky thing that had come in. And so I was just thinking about, well, where's joy? And there are a couple of like, or a few really obvious ones. So in the seven factors of awakening, so the seven factors of awakening, one of them is joy. And so the kind of joy that being referred to there is a kind of opening and relaxing and expansiveness that comes from our practice. And whenever I say our practice, I think I used to think of practice as sitting down, and it was all sitting practice. But our practice is our lives, and all the ways that we bring in these skills throughout our day with other people and with other beings. And so the seven fact one in the so one of the seven factors of awakening is joy. And this opening and relaxing and expansiveness can come from all the ways that we bring these practices into our lives. One person described it as suffusing joy in our bodies, which I loved the concept of that, especially in a world that is very tough, and the concept of suffusing joy in our bodies. much of what I was taught was to ignore my body. And then there were ways that I was very disassociated from my body, especially for me as transgender, there were ways I was not in my body. And the idea of loving my body and suffusing it with joy was a very, it filled me with joy to even think about that concept. So the joy in the seven factors of awakening is also described sometimes as refreshing joy and a joy of being aware. And then another kind of joy is contentment and happiness of how we are aware. So as we engage in a variety of practices to let go more of the ways that greed and hatred and delusion can show up in our lives, there's a resting and seeing clearly. And it's a warmth and joy that can grow more and more within ourselves. Like really being here for all experiences. Because it's not just, people talk about 10,000 joys and 10,000 sorrows, and it's not just 10,000 sorrows, it's also 10,000 joys. And being able to rest in all of that and rest in the joy where it's there. Sometimes I describe it as there are times in my life where I feel like I've been trying to get through a single door, and I've been trying to get through it, and I've been trying to get through it. And I've missed the fact that there's like an open field on either side. There's so much more expansiveness. There's so much more there than this one thing that I'm really focused on. And so I loved those two ways of thinking about joy. So that joy in the seven factors of awakening, and this joy about the contentment and happiness of how we are aware. And there can also be joy in the growing sense of interconnectedness. I think that one of the ways that the harmful structures of power behave is to make us feel alone, is to create separateness. And through these practices, there can be more and more of a sense of interconnectedness. And it doesn't have to be with people. It doesn't have to be, there isn't a certain way that it needs to look. It can just be a growing sense of interconnectedness with all things. So I'm hoping mostly through talking about this that as I talk about these examples of joy and talk about protecting our joy, that maybe there are some ways that you can be thinking about, or maybe you've already thought a lot about this, of where and how does joy exist for you, and what are ways that you would love to nourish it or cultivate it, and how it doesn't have to be big, like really small, really bite-sized, really tiny. I've also, one of the ways that joy and protecting joy have come up for me is also, joy in being able to let go of some things. For instance, in Buddhism, depending on the type, there's talk about the middle way and the importance of the middle way. And this was an important part of the Buddha's awakening in terms of going to many extremes and then finding the importance of the middle way and enlightenment. But for me, the middle way has been more of a zigzag. Like I'll go pretty far one direction, and I'll turn, and I'll go back more towards the middle, and then I'll realize where I'm at, and then I'll go back more towards the middle. And I mostly at these corners and these turns, it's often sangha. So friends of mine that are practitioners, other people who are in their spiritual paths, books, music that remind me to make that turn. It's like, oh, I've gotten off course. I'm going to go back. So it's like a zigzag. But there's become joy in knowing that I'll get back towards the middle and knowing that the way that things ebb and flow, there's going to be a movement back towards the middle. And there's a kind of way of being able to relax into that. So also in the suttas are the divine abodes, and they're deep and rich, and there's so much to say about the divine abodes. But one of the divine abodes is sympathetic joy. And in terms of protecting our joy and getting in touch with joy, I love sympathetic joy because of the way one of the, because of the way that it can be a great practice to engage in. It can be those seeds that I can plant that can then be a part of growing that garden that I want to have flourish. So sympathetic joy is appreciative joy. It's empathic joy. It's connecting with others' joy. And it's said through the divine abodes, through generosity, love, compassion, and happiness for others that we can experience gladness and delight. And these are really powerful balancing skills again for handling the worldly winds and challenges in life and these systems that we're in and where the world is at. So being able to connect with these divine abodes. And so this sympathetic joy, this looking around and seeing where there is joy. There's this really large plant outside my window that I grew, and the sign had said that it would attract pollinators, and I had no idea how many pollinators it would attract. All of these butterflies like to visit it all day long once it starts to bloom. And I feel so much mudita, so much sympathetic joy watching these butterflies because they're just radiating happiness as they're all over these flowers, and so are the bees. And it's just a moment. I just take that like quick moment and take that in and remember. And or seeing kids playing in my neighborhood, and I feel that mudita, that sympathetic joy, or like my cat in a sunbeam. And then there's also just joy. So just joy. However that shows up in your life. So it doesn't have to be sympathetic joy. It doesn't have to be seven factors of awakening. It doesn't have to be a part of a list. It's just protecting joy wherever it shows up for you in your life. And again, it can be just the smallest thing. One of the things that brings me joy walking around my neighborhood is looking for medicinal plants. And I'm not looking for something big or fancy. I'm looking at plantain that grows in the lawn. I'm looking at mallow that grows in this crack on the sidewalk near a light post. It's seeking these things out. And when I see that, it reminds me of how much the earth is caring for us. And it just has medicinal plants everywhere. And that just brings me joy. One of the story that I heard about joy and love that is continuing to give me a lot of joy is that trees in the city of Melbourne, Australia, they gave the trees emails. A lot of trees. They gave these trees emails. So that people could report if a tree was sick, which first brought me some joy because I thought, oh, how special that each tree is, if something was going wrong, you could contact somebody and they could try to help the tree. But people started writing emails to the trees. And they're all of these different types of messages. And my favorite are the love and appreciation messages people write to the trees. So they're writing love letters to these trees. I was thinking about in terms of protecting our joy, what if we were writing little love letters to all the things around us each day? Like really short and quick, but taking a few, just a quick moment to do that. I also love that Thich Nhat Hanh reminded me to check in about what's neutral and lift that up to joy. I think especially when times are very tough, I can lose track of what is neutral. Or sometimes when, for instance, when something health-wise has gone on, it makes a lot of sense that my focus is what is uncomfortable, which is very real and very true. But I'll stop noticing where it isn't. So Thich Nhat Hanh talked about the joy of not having a sore throat. And so there are things that sometimes I miss entirely because I'm not noticing it at all because it falls somehow into kind of a neutral place for me. And then I could take it for granted. I'll go places where I need to really purify water because I'm getting it directly from rivers and streams and lakes. And I'll go through that process and I'll do that for quite a while. And then I'll come back to my house. And the first time I turn on the tap, I'll just be like, wow, this is amazing. Like I can drink this water like directly. And there's a way that, but then back to daily life, I stop noticing it later. So there's also this way of lifting the neutral up to joy in a way that can protect our joy. And so when this is accessible, I think it's an awesome secret. I'll be places and something will be going on and or I've gone through something really challenging around other people. And there's kind of this way that I like now when I'm protecting my joy that I feel like I'm keeping this special secret that I'm looking out the window and seeing this amazing thing, or I'm still engaging in joy despite what else happened. So it just starts to feel like this wonderful secret treasure, in addition to these seeds and this nourishment of a garden. So I like the idea of protecting this sweet treasure. My brother visited recently and we've gone through some pretty tough times in terms of family. We're building like a family relationship again. And he's had a lot of long-term anxiety and depression, so strong he couldn't travel for a long time. And he's made it to the place he's in right now. And it could change, but he's able to travel right now. And he was just delighted in everything on the trip. I had him walk around San Francisco and we went to the ocean a bunch of times. We went to old growth redwoods and we hiked along the bay. And we even went to a dog surfing competition. And we even went to Grocery Outlet and his favorite cereal was there. And he was just like, he said we should have come here first. Like this is so great. And it was really, it ended up being really contagious. And I could see the ways that he was protecting, remembering all of the things that brought him joy, and the joy in the moment of how he was doing. And it really stuck with me. So I went over a whole lot of ways that we can protect our joy and seek out joy in our lives. When it's the right space for it, when there's the energy for it, and that it doesn't have to be big, it can be just like little bite size, it can be seeds. And I think also if you ever wanted to make it a little bit of a bigger practice, there are several teachers that talk about the RAIN method. So RAIN, it's an acronym and it stands for recognize what's happening, allow the experience to be there just as it is. Investigating with interest and care, and then nurturing with self-compassion. And the RAIN method is often used to deal with really challenging emotions. But I've started to notice that this can be a way to get in touch with joy too, because you can recognize joy when it's happening and then allow it to be there just as it is before being like, oh, I need to think about this. Oh, I need to do this. Oh, what about this over here? Just recognizing what's it that it's there and allowing it to be there just as it is. Just staying there for a little while. And then investigating it. You know, how does this feel in my body? Where does it land? Is it like warmth here? Is it some stillness, some sense of wholeness? Is there somewhere else that it is? And then you don't have to nurture it with self-compassion. You can just nurture it. Just really like love up on that joy that's right there. And I think one of the last things I'll say, and then we can have some discussion, is that it can be stepping away from kind of notions of happy. Like there's a capitalism can get into notions of a kind of like a focus on what they call happy. And what I love about these practices of protecting our joy and connecting with joy in lots of different ways is I think it can get into something that's deeper and more satisfying, and something that can help take care of us more in terms of these ways of connecting with joy. And it can just allow in more of the complexity that's there, instead of a kind of like a trying to force happy. I think that the word happy is wonderful and happiness is wonderful too. But I like talking about joy and many of the complex layers that can be there. So we can use these practices to support ourselves. We can pay attention to growing and nourishing what supports us. And it can also help us pay attention to how we need to show up for ourselves and all beings. And it can be this thing that we can protect, that can help us remember our resources too. So I'll stop there. I would love to hear wisdom from the room if anybody has thoughts or questions or even just wants to talk about some of the ways they nourish joy in their life or ways that they protect their joy. So yeah, so I'd love to open it up.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.